Welcome to our Lenten service. If I say the phrase to you that someone thinks that they're above the law, you know what that means. They think that the law doesn't apply to them. Well, for some people, that's the way they live their life. They want to live on their own terms and do their own thing, and they don't think that the law applies. Sometimes people even apply that to God. I'm above God's law. I can live as I want, do as I choose. In other words, they're defying God and His authority. We're continuing with our Lenten theme of asking God to forgive us. And tonight we're going to talk about defying God's authority. People did that while Jesus was in Jerusalem, specifically the high priest and his fellow Pharisees. But that only got them into trouble, defying God. You and I are tempted to do the same thing at times, and yet the Lord wants us to follow the example of our Savior Jesus, who purposely put Himself under the law so that He could save us. We'll talk more about that in our sermon. In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden, amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. In your faithfulness, do not bring your servant into judgment. Answer me quickly, O Lord. Do not hide your face from me. Show me the way I should go. Teach me to do your will. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe. Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now coming to an end. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, that we may walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm reading for this evening is Psalm 121. This psalm is a wonderful reminder that God's always there for us. He's never sleeping or too busy. God is always there to watch over us and take care of us. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot stumble. He who watches over you will not slumber. Yes, he who watches over Israel will not slumber, he will not sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will watch to keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your going and your coming from now to eternity. And we pray. Lord God, you never slumber or sleep, but your eyes are always open to our needs. Watch over our welfare on this perilous journey. Shade us from the dangers that surround us, and keep us safe from harm. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We continue with our reading of the Passion history. We do this every Lenten season to familiarize ourselves once again with the events that happened to Jesus, especially during Holy Week. This evening we do part two. While they were reclining and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were very sad, and each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping with me in the dish. For the Son of Man is going just as it has been written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born." The disciples started looking at each other, uncertain which of them he meant. One of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to find out which one he was talking about. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus replied, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread after I have dipped it in the dish." Then he dipped the piece of bread and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." None of those reclining at the table understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas kept the money bag, some thought that Jesus was telling him to buy what they needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. After Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once." While they were eating, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Dear children, I am going to be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow me later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus replied, "Will you really lay down your life for me, Simon? Simon, pay attention. Satan has asked to have you all so that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." Peter answered him, "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, tonight before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same. He said to them, "When I sent you out without money bag, traveler bag, and sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they said. Then he said to them, "But now, whoever has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a traveler's bag. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. He was counted with transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment." They said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." He said to them, "That is enough." Then Jesus said to them, "This night you will all fall away because of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." After they sang a hymn, Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives, where there was a garden called Gethsemane. He and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who was betraying him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray, and keep praying that you may not enter into temptation." Then he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and began to be troubled and distressed. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Not my will, but yours be done." When he rose from prayer, he went to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Were you not strong enough to watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me unless I drink it, may your will be done." Again he returned and found the disciples sleeping. They did not know what they should answer him. He left them again, went away, and prayed a third time. He said the same words as before. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. As he was in agony, he prayed more fervently. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." God's word for our study are verses from Mark chapter 14, verses 60 to 65. This happened during Jesus' court trial. The high priest stepped forward and questioned Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is this they are testifying against you?" But Jesus was silent and did not answer anything. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," Jesus said, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his robes and said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as being worthy of death. Then some began to spit on him. They covered his face and struck him with their fists, saying, "Prophesy." The guards also took him and beat him. Dear fellow worshipers, one of the programs that I like to watch on TV is like a rescue type program where people help others out when they're really having a hard time. Maybe it's some kind of a natural disaster like a tornado and people need help getting out of their homes that have just been blown over, or a hurricane or a flood, things like that. Oftentimes people are just victims of their circumstances and then they need help. Well, there's other times when people defy common sense and authority and get themselves into trouble. Sometimes people drive too fast for the conditions and they end up in the ditch. Somebody else maybe is hiking and then they go in a place where they're not supposed to go, maybe some restricted area, and then they get in trouble and they get hurt and get lost because they're in the wrong place. That happens here all the time out in the Saginaw Bay. Guys want to go out and ice fish, and maybe you read this story in February where 14 people were out on this ice fishing and that big chunk of ice broke away from the rest of it. Now they're floating out there. They had to have the Coast Guard helicopter come and get them. Even though the ice was very sketchy and the warnings were out not to be out there, they got themselves into trouble because they were defying common sense, defying authorities who warned them otherwise. There are people that do the same thing with God's authority. They defy God. They want to live life on their own terms. And we're going to see that in this Bible reading for tonight with the high priest and the Pharisees. That's how they were living their lives, and that's why they defied Jesus and his authority. We're continuing with our theme of Father, forgive us, and tonight we're asking the Lord to forgive us of that same thing. To forgive us when we defy God's authority in our own lives of faith. And rather than defy it, to humbly follow the Lord and his plan for our lives. Jesus had his share of enemies while he was here, and one of those enemies were the Jewish leaders. God had instituted the priesthood in the Old Testament as a way to help people worship. So the high priest, he was in charge, he had other priests around him, and in the temple, they helped people worship, helped them with their sacrifices. The high priest was praying for them and serving them. Well, by the time that Jesus came along, the priesthood had turned into something completely different. The Roman army had come in and taken possession of Jerusalem and the area around it, and now they were under Roman control. But they decided to keep the high priest there with his fellow priests as a way to help control the Jews. And so the governor of Rome, he was in charge of choosing the high priest, and he set laws for the high priest and his fellow priests. And the Roman governor didn't care anything about worship life. He just wanted the people controlled, and he wanted the tax money, by the way, too. And that's what the high priest was there to do. Keep the people under control, no problems, and make sure the tax money was coming in. The high priest at the time of Jesus was named Caiaphas. Caiaphas and his family had been a family of high priests for more than 100 years. And they knew how to play the game with the Roman government. It wasn't about spiritual things, it was really about politics. Make sure everything is running nice and smooth and nobody gets into trouble. And the high priest and his fellow priests could have their cushy positions, their power and their control, and their self-made glory. Well, all of that was going along fine for them, I suppose, until Jesus shows up. And Jesus starts preaching, and he tells people that the Pharisees are hypocrites. And then he points out their false teachings, and he tells people, well, they're not teaching you from what the Bible says, all those prophecies about the coming Savior. They're teaching you all these man-made laws, things that they have made up for themselves to look holy and to look worthy of God's love. And then Jesus could perform miracles, and now people are really flocking to him. And after he did things like raise Lazarus from the dead, now the Jews are really going to Jesus, and they're really excited about him. And the Pharisees are doing their best to try and discredit Jesus. They're trying to say that he's just the son of Joseph the carpenter. And even when he's doing miracles, they say, well, the only reason he can do that is because he's possessed by a demon. It's the devil performing those miracles. But Jesus didn't back down. He kept preaching and he kept teaching and he kept telling the people who the Pharisees really were. And it reached its climax on Palm Sunday. Jesus is going into Jerusalem one more time. He rides in on that donkey, and the people are praising him. Remember how they take off their coats, and then they put them in the road, and then they cut palm branches down, and it's their idea of the red carpet? They were honoring Jesus so fervently that now the Pharisees are very concerned, and they actually confront Jesus on Palm Sunday. And when Jesus wouldn't back down, and when the people were so excited about him, now they got serious. Now they were plotting Jesus' death. They got Judas to betray him. They paid him off with money. And then they were going to do other things to him. They were going to have him arrested. And then they were going to bring him for a court trial. And they would have a nighttime court trial, which was illegal. And then they would ask Pilate to have him executed because they didn't have any authority to do that. They had all these steps that they were going to carry out, and they defied Jesus' authority. And they eventually get what they wanted, but why? It was all about their power, wasn't it? It was all about their own little lives and the control that they wanted. They didn't care about Jesus. They didn't care about the Old Testament scriptures. They were defying Jesus, and there was no way that they were going to listen to anything that he said because they weren't interested in believing in him, but only in what they wanted to believe for themselves. Well, the Pharisees weren't the only ones. There were a lot of people in Bible times that did the same thing. They defied God's authority. Eve did that in the garden. God said, don't eat from that tree. She ate from the tree, gave some to Adam, brought sin into the world. God told Cain, the son of Eve, Cain, you can't hate your brother Abel. That's going to cause a problem. Sin is crouching at your door, is what the Bible says. Cain didn't listen, and he killed his brother Abel. King David, most powerful king around, and he's a king of Israel. He's got all this power and authority, and he didn't care about God and his commands. David wanted to do something pleasurable. And there were other people, like Judas, who betrayed Jesus for money, and others that did the same things. Peter, who denied Jesus and said he would never do that. They all defied Jesus' authority. They didn't listen to what he said. They didn't listen to God. And why? Eve wanted to be better than she was. Cain wanted revenge. David was just out for his own pleasure. And Judas, he just wanted money. And Peter, he was just trying to save his own skin because he thought that he was going to go to the cross just like Jesus would. Sometimes we're the ones that defy God and his authority. Sometimes we convince ourselves that we don't have to listen to all the commandments. Maybe some of them. Sometimes we convince ourselves that it'd be better if we were in control of our own lives and could do things in our own way. Sometimes we convince ourselves that we can live as we want. We've got our faith, and if we get into some kind of trouble, we can just ask God to forgive us later. Sometimes we do the very same thing. We defy God's authority. We don't want to be under the gun. We want to be above the law and live as we choose. And that's why we have to ask our Heavenly Father to forgive us again. Forgive us when we defy Jesus' authority and God's authority in our lives. Because we need the Lord to help us and to guide us in our lives of faith each day. Well, the Pharisees, they end up getting what they wanted, didn't they? But it wasn't because of their plans. God was allowing it to happen because it was all part of his Heavenly Father's plan. Jesus is arrested. He's betrayed. He's mistreated. We heard that in the scripture reading. Jesus is condemned to die. The Pharisees got exactly what they wanted. But think of what they were forgetting. They were forgetting why the Messiah was really coming into the world. It wasn't to make the Jews a great nation like they thought. It wasn't to cause trouble for Pontius Pilate. Jesus came into the world so that he could save people from their sins. Not make this world a great place, but take away their worst problem of sin so that they could go home to heaven. Now we talk about being under God's authority. Think about Jesus. Jesus was under God's authority. He willingly put himself here in our place and is going went through all the same things that you and I are going through here. Jesus put himself under the Jews' authority. He could have stopped that. He is true God. He could have stopped what they were trying to do to him, but he didn't. He put himself under the Roman government's authority, allowing all of that to happen. And most important of all, he put himself under his Heavenly Father's authority. We heard that in the reading of the Passion history, where in our Gethsemane window above the altar, Jesus is pleading with his Father, Father, if there's another way to save the world, let's do it that way. Take this cup, take this suffering away from me. Jesus prayed that three times, saying the same thing. And of course, we know what the answer is. The answer was no. And Jesus prayed that way. He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus put himself under that authority so that you and I could be saved from our sins. Jesus wants you and I to do the same thing in our lives of faith, to be under his authority. And there's ways that you and I can do that. The first thing would be to remember who we are. We're just sinners, and the only thing that we deserve from God is his punishment. A second thing to remember is what Jesus has made us. We're God's children. He's made us his believers. Jesus calls us his brothers and sisters. And he wants us to realize that when we're his children, we have all these wonderful blessings that come to us. We're to remember how the Holy Spirit works. You and I need to be strengthened in our faith every single day. And the Holy Spirit, he's doing that right now as we're studying together. He does that through God's Word, and he does that through the sacraments, through Holy Communion, which we also have the privilege of receiving tonight. We're to remember to listen to God's Word. We don't just hear it, but now I want to do what God says. It's not a burden for a believer to be under the law, so to speak. It's not a burden to be under Jesus' authority, because we know what he's doing for us, or what he's already done for us. He's already given us our home in heaven. And he's continuing to be with us daily to guide and direct our lives, to show us how to get through earthly life, to show us what's important and what isn't, to help us focus on those things that will keep us strong and focused on our eternal home with him. There's people that get themselves into trouble by doing the wrong things, defying authority. The Pharisees certainly did that. We're tempted to do that too. But we're confident that Jesus has forgiven all of our sins. He's taken them all away, and then he even forgets what they are. And then he re-motivates us. He strengthens us to continue living as his children, so that as the Father forgives us, we're strengthened and ready to live as Christians every day. Amen.